Tonight, if you take your Bibles and turn to the book of John, John chapter number 3 tonight, we're going to look at some verses here and see what the Lord has for us tonight. The book of John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher and come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity to be in your house. Lord, thank you for my pastor. Lord, thank you for how you've led him here and how he's fed us. Lord, I pray you continue to bless him tonight. Father, I do pray now that you would please empty me of myself. Fill me with your spirit. Lord, remove any nerves, any fear tonight, Lord, that I might preach the things you've laid upon my heart this evening. Lord, I pray for liberty, Father, to preach. Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, for my audience tonight. May they listen with open ears and open hearts and be receptive to the word of God. I pray Christians would be, Lord, edified. I pray sinners would be convicted. And Lord, I pray that action would be taken at the end of the message, Lord, that we might draw closer to you. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today we live in a very dark world. We live in a time when men love darkness rather than light. They love evil over those things that are good and right. In fact, in John 3, chapter 3 and verse number 19, the Lord would say this, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Men today love the dark. They love the things of the world. They love anything that has absolutely nothing to do with God. I think about there are those today, there are men and women today who are going about struggling to find their way in this world. They're struggling to find light. They're struggling to even begin to see a glimmer of light. There are those today that are in fact blind. And they are so blind that they do not even realize they're wandering in darkness. But I'm glad today that we as believers are not of the darkness. We as believers are not wandering around in the darkness. We have been called out of the darkness by the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9, he says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." I'm thankful tonight that I'm not only in light, but I'm in marvelous light. You as a believer tonight are not only in light, but you're in marvelous light. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about today, there is a light that still shines in this world. There is a light that still stands out amongst all of the darkness. And I think about that light, how bright it is. That light is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the death, it is the burial, it is the resurrection of Christ. It is Him coming as King. That gospel stands out as a beacon. That gospel stands out as a lighthouse. That gospel is there to lead a people out of a dark, sin-sick world today. In John chapter number 3, here in our text, we are introduced to a man by the name of Nicodemus. A man who was wandering around at night in the darkness. Notice real quickly tonight what is said of this man, Nicodemus. First of all, in verse number 1, it said that he was a man of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were a very interesting group of people back then. In fact, I've come to call them the religious police of the day. They were the ones that were going around holding everyone to a high standard but themselves. They were going around forcing their convictions or forcing their laws on other people. In fact, they were the ones that should have known who the Messiah was. They should have immediately recognized that Jesus Christ was the one they were looking for. But because of their pride, because of who they were, and because of the mindset that they had developed, they completely missed it. And they continued to wander around in darkness. Pharisees forced their tradition on people. Pharisees forced their law on people. And the Pharisees were very lifted up in pride.
Pharisees were also usually very well learned and were people of wealth, and they were people that had means. I see also about this man Nicodemus, he is called a ruler of the Jews there in verse number 1. In other words, Nicodemus had a little bit of power. He had a little bit of ability. He had a little bit of ability to make some decisions. He had some power to be able to lead some people. He had some power to be able to get some things done. He was a ruler, whether he was a political ruler or maybe a ruler in the church. He was just not a regular Pharisee. He was somebody a little bit different. Not only that, but we find here in our text that he came to Jesus by night. Whether he came out of fear, whether he came out of shame, whether he came for whatever other reason, he came to the Lord Jesus at night. I think about that, and as my opening statements were talking about darkness, Nicodemus was wandering around in the darkness and he was looking for a light. We see here what Nick said about the Lord Jesus Christ. He called him Rabbi there in verse number 2. That word rabbi simply means a master or someone learned. In other words, Nicodemus knew a little bit about the Lord. Nicodemus knew that he was a good teacher or maybe a good preacher, but he didn't fully grasp. He didn't fully yet understand who the Lord Jesus Christ was. I think about, we live in a time today where there are a lot of people who know something of the Lord, or they know that there's some knowledge there or there's some good things there, but they fully do not understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is. They have not come to that understanding. We see not only does he call him a rabbi, but he calls him a teacher. He calls him a teacher. I think about how that apparently old Nick had been hanging out in the temple down there. He had been hanging out and he had been listening to what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say. He had been listening how that he had been teaching. He had listened about how that he had been saying some things that this man had never heard before. You know, it's a good thing when lost people get under the teaching, proper teaching of the Word of God. Why? Because they're getting exposed to light. And when they get exposed to light, that's going to cause them to begin to ask some questions, just like this man did. Notice also, Nick says that he knew the Lord was come from God. He knew that he was a prophet. He knew that he was someone very, very special. We see here that, as I've said, he didn't have full understanding of who Christ was, but he knew that there was something very different about this man Jesus. He knew that he was not like the normal preacher down the road. He knew that he was not like Elisha or Moses or one of the Old Testament prophets. He knew that there was something special about the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in verse number 3, as Nicodemus comes to the Lord and he begins to ask the Lord some question, the Lord Jesus Christ gives it to him straight. You know, sometimes we just need to have it straight, you know. We don't need to go around the bush. We don't need to go around the corner. We just need to say, listen, this is what the Bible says. And Nick was asking some very important questions, and the Lord said, listen. He says, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. You know, I'm thankful tonight for this term, born again. Born again. Listen, I like biblical terms. And as believers, as Christians, as independent Baptists, we need to use biblical terms. I'm glad of the word biblical. I'm glad of the words born again. Don't be afraid of biblical terms. We live in a day where people are so afraid of the archaic English language. Listen, get you an 1828 dictionary, do some turning, learn your alphabet, and figure out what it says. It's not that difficult. But I'm thankful for biblical terms. I like biblical terms such as born again. I like biblical terms like behold. I like biblical terms like lo. I like biblical terms like saved. I like biblical terms like hell and Satan. I like biblical terms like church. I like biblical terms like grace and faith and sin, and it came to pass. Biblical terms are good, and I'm thankful for those today. Men today need to understand that the biblical term born again is exactly what they need. Man's soul needs to be regenerated. It needs to be brought to life. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. In Colossians 2 and verse 13, the Bible says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your faith, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Notice here twice the word quickened is used. You know what that word quickened simply means? It means made alive. Made alive. You know, as the preacher preached this morning, and as we've heard many times, we were dead in our trespasses and sin. But the day we got saved, the day we come to the saving knowledge of Christ, the day we accepted Him as our Savior, we were quickened. We were made alive. Something inside of us that was dead came to life. As one man said, there's a God whole size in every human being, and only God Himself can fill it. And when salvation comes, that hole becomes filled, and that dead soul all of a sudden breathes life and comes alive because of the Holy Spirit and the work of the living God. I see here man needs to be made alive. Man needs to be quickened. As we look at Nicodemus, Nicodemus could not understand this matter of being born again. He struggled with it. We see that he was wandering around in darkness. He was wandering around in the world seeking light. And yet there was light, but he could not yet embrace the light that was before him. In verse number 9, in fact, Nicodemus would ask the question, how can these things be? How can these things be? What are you talking about, this matter of being born again? The Lord Jesus Christ would go on and he would begin to instruct Nicodemus. He would begin to tell Nicodemus what it was to be born again. He would talk about how that he was going to die, how that he was going to be lifted up there on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world. He began to talk about how God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He began to talk with them about how being born again was simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him to save the soul. We see tonight that this man Nicodemus is found two more times in the book of John. In fact, the book of John is the only place that you'll find Nicodemus. He's found in John chapter 7 verses 50 through 52. And he's found in John chapter 19 and verse 39. I think about Nicodemus, and as he would go through the book of John, Nicodemus would soon come to understand what it was to be born again. Nicodemus would soon come to that understanding. In John 19:39, it says, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. Notice he came to Jesus at the first by night. But we see here around Calvary, he's come to Christ in the open. We see here, he says, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloe, about 100-pound weight. Verse 40 says, then took they. The body of Jesus, and wound it in linen cloth and with spices as the manner of the Jews to bury. Notice in verse number 40, he was counted with the they. All of a sudden, Nicodemus was found with the believers, with the disciples, taking care of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus came to the saving knowledge of Christ between John chapter number 3 and John chapter number 19. He had his aha moment. I think about tonight as I look at this man Nicodemus, and as I begin to study this message, I begin to think on this thought. Nicodemus went from Nick at night to Nick in the light. Nicodemus went from Nick at night to Nick in the light. You know, tonight as I looked and studied this scripture, there are four things that brought Nicodemus from the night to the light. And listen, I know tonight that Nicodemus was a lost man. Nicodemus needed to be saved, and Nicodemus was wandering around in darkness, and he needed to understand what born again was, and he needed to come to that light. But listen, there are so many people today who are believers, who are still staggering around in the darkness, who are still wandering around waiting on God to drop a rock out of the sky and say, do this or do that. Listen, tonight, you may be lost tonight, and listen, you're wandering around in the darkness of your sin. Listen, hopefully tonight when we're done, you'll understand how to come to the light, the saving knowledge of Christ. But as believers tonight, I want to challenge our hearts, and I want us to understand that, listen, we don't need to be wandering around in the darkness of the world. We don't need to be wandering around in the darkness of the unsurety of God's will. We don't need to be wandering around in the darkness wondering, what am I supposed to do for you, Lord? Listen, we need to come out of that darkness and move to the light. We need to be like Nick and move from the night to the light. Tonight, as I begin to look at this, one of the first things I believe that brought Nick out of the dark into the light was the fact that he saw the works of Christ. He saw the works of Christ. If you look in John 3, in verse number 2, down towards the middle part, he says, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest. Nicodemus says, no man can do what you're doing. No man has the ability to pull off what you're pulling off. Listen, Nick began to observe what the Lord was doing, and he began to see the great miracles that Christ was performing. Listen, there was not a man who had yet healed the sick. There was not a man who had yet raised the dead. There was not a man who had taken a Happy Meal and fed 5,000 people. There was something different, and Nick saw the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about how Nick saw the miracles, and he saw like a flash of lightning. He saw Christ in the work that he began to perform. I think about no one before, no one since had done the work of Christ. And as we said, Nick was a Pharisee. And I can't help but wonder that in his mind, did he not go back to Isaiah chapter 9 in verse 2? It says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." All of a sudden, Nick was going along his daily business. He was taking care of what he was having to take care of. He was going down to the Walmarts and the bank and the church house and all that he was doing. And all of a sudden, somebody come running up and said, "There's a man down there healing folks. There's a man down there making people walk." And Nick became interested, and he went down there and he began to see the work of Christ. I think about the day and age in which we live in. There are many who say they can perform miracles. Listen, this matter of miracles, they still take place, but they take place by prayer and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not a man yet that has laid his hand on anyone that has healed anybody. Listen, it only takes the touch of God today to heal somebody. But listen, Christ still works miracles today. Listen, I think about lost people today. Lost people can still observe the works of Christ. Listen, you need to understand, if you're lost today and you don't know Christ, go outside and look at the sky. Go outside and look at the trees. Go outside and observe the miracle of creation. I think about when a child comes into the world and how that child is miraculously formed. Listen, that's a miracle of God. And that speaks to a testament that there is a God, there is a Savior, and man needs that God and man needs that Savior. I think about tonight, there's not only the miracle of creation, but there's the miracle work of salvation. Listen, when a lost person gets around somebody that really got the goods and got a hold of things, all of a sudden there is a change will start taking place. And they'll begin to say, "Man, what happened to him, you know? He used to cuss, he used to smoke, he used to drink, he used to listen to our... What in the world got into you? Well, I got saved." Guess what? A miracle took place in that man's life. And a lost person sees that miracle and they think, "Man, what in the world's going on? I need a little bit of that." You know, not only that, but a lost person can see the miracle of sanctification in a person's life. You know, maybe you're a Christian sitting here and maybe you're not living as you should, and all of a sudden you get a hold of the things of God, and all of a sudden you pick the Word of God back up, and all of a sudden a change begins to happen in your life, and all of a sudden people think, "Man, well, you know, what's up with that? You know, what happened to you?" And you begin to tell them, "Listen, Christ stirred my heart and He showed me I needed to be a little different. I needed to live a little closer to Him." And they begin to observe the miracle of sanctification. Listen, you may be living at home today and you may have children and maybe you're concerned about your children and things of that nature, and that's a good thing to be. But listen, if we would just begin to live a sanctified life in front of our children, they would wonder, "What in the world happened to mom and daddy?" And all of a sudden, there would be a miracle take place and they would see those things. I think about not only that, but lost people can see the miracle of the multiplication of Christ. You say, "What are you talking about?" Listen, in the time that we live in, the Christian church is so outnumbered, yet churches are growing. Yet sinners are being saved. Yet missionaries are being sent. Yet things are taking place. And listen, there's no explanation of that except for the power and the working of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be sitting here tonight and you say, "Why in the world would anybody come to this church where a preacher will preach and holler and the choir? Why do you want to do anything like that?" It's because God is still blessing real blessings today in the age which we live in. I think about not only they testify to the light that they found in Christ. I think about in Acts chapter 6 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Listen, it's one thing to live a Christian life among Christians, but it's another thing to live a Christian life out there in the world. Notice it says here, he was full of faith and power and did great wonders and miracles among the people. In other words, Stephen was working among the people. Stephen was testifying among the people. Stephen was telling among the people. Stephen was living a sanctified life among the people. Listen, there may be Christians here today that are struggling in the dark, looking for the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, you may be wondering, you may be doubting, you may be concerned about your life, and you may be saying, "I want more life in my life." Listen, you need to look at the miracle of salvation that's taking place in your own life. I think about my own life. Why in the world would the Lord even waste His time with a 16-year-old boy like me? But He did. You think about your life and where you could be and what God has done in your life. Listen, why would God waste His time on you? I have no idea, but it's a miracle of salvation that He did. Listen, I think about we need to look to the miracle of others' salvation. Listen, it's a miracle that Doug Burrows is saved tonight. Amen. It's a miracle that my wife is saved tonight. It's a miracle that Travis is saved tonight. Listen, it's a miracle when a soul gets saved. Listen, we can look at the other people's salvation and take courage from that and say, you know what? I want some more of that light that person has got. Not only that, but we can look to the miracle of blessings. Day after day, time after time, God said, here's some more. Here's some more. Handfuls of purpose fall into our lives. And we need to look to those blessings and say, you know what? I want to get a little closer to the light. I want to get further away from this darkness. I want to get closer where God wants me to be. I think about not only that, but we need to look to the miracle of the work that He's given us to do. Listen, anytime God calls somebody to do a work, it's a miracle. Anytime God calls somebody to do anything for them, no matter how great or how small it may be, it's a miracle. And we need to look to that miracle and understand, hey, God's given me something to do. I need to get out of the darkness and get in the light as a believer. Secondly, tonight, another thing that drew Nick out of the night and into the light was the Word of God. The Word of God. Notice down in verse number 14, the Lord Jesus is telling him, He says, and as Moses lifted up in the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Notice there, if you will, turn over to John 19, verse number 39. John 19, 39, we've already read this, but I want to show you this. This scene takes place around the cross of Calvary. Nicodemus had been there witnessing the crucifixion. Nicodemus had seen the Lord lifted up, and now they're taking Him off the cross, and it says, and there came also Nicodemus, which as the first came to Jesus by night. I cannot help but think that as Nicodemus stood there around the cross of Calvary and as Nicodemus witnessed that scene, all of a sudden in Nick's mind, he went back to that night on that street corner in Jerusalem in John chapter 3 where the Lord Jesus said, even so as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The words of God begin to echo. The words of Christ begin to echo in his mind. The words of God begin to echo in his heart. And all of a sudden, Nicodemus had an aha moment. And he looked back and he remembered what that serpent did there in the book of Numbers. How that it was accursed. And whoever looked to that serpent lived. And now you have the Son of God lifted up on Calvary. And whoever looks to the Son of God can live. Listen, tonight, there's a time in which we need to get out of the darkness. And we need to bring out the Word of God. We need to understand the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. As Nehemiah did in Nehemiah chapter number 8, this is what the Bible says. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the streets that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord God recommended to Israel. Now listen, it's a time and a day and age in which we live in. We need more of the Word of God. We need more of the book. Listen, if God's called you to do something, confirm it with the Word of God. If God has put a conviction in your life, confirm it with the Word of God. If God has put you in a place and you know you're supposed to be there, confirm it with the Word of God. Everything we do, every action we take, everywhere we go, needs to be confirmed and backed up with the Word of God. I think about today we need to understand that lost men need to hear the Word of God. There's no greater thing that you can give a lost man or a lost woman than a copy of the Bible. A copy of the Bible. I'm reminded of one story, a missionary. He knew the Lord was calling him to go to a certain island there in the Caribbean, and he had a desire to go, and for whatever reason, he was unable to, and finally, he convinced somebody to let him go. And that man, he got in the boat, and it was a day's travel, and he got there right at the end of the day, and as he got there, here come one of the islanders, a big man, down to the docks, and he had a humongous book with him. And he opened that book, and he said, are you somebody that can tell me what this book says? That man looked at it, and it was a family Bible that his mother had passed on to him. And all of a sudden, that man had been reading the Word of God, and that man no wanted to know what that book said. Much like the man named Cornelius in the book of Acts, he wanted somebody to tell him what the Bible said and how to be saved. Listen, lost people need to hear the Word of God. The Word of God shines light on sin. You know why they want it out of the courts, why they want it out of the schools, why they want it out of wherever they want it out of? Because it shines light on sin. It takes a flashlight and said, this is where you're wrong. This is where you're messing up. This is where you're sinning. This is where you're not right with God, you know? Listen, if you're lost here tonight, you need to understand you need the Word of God because it'll show you where you're wrong and where God's right. Not only that, but it shines light on the hopelessness of man. Listen, man was without hope. I'm thankful tonight that I have the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen, lost men and women, they do not have hope. They are without hope tonight, and they need hope, and the Word of God gives that hope. Not only that, but it shines light on lost man's final destination. Men don't like to hear the word hell, They like to take the flames out of hell. They like to take the flames out of that place. They like to take the power out of hell. Listen, you don't need to so much be worried about hell tonight if you're lost. You need to be worried more about that place called the lake of fire. The Bible describes that as the second death. Hell is just a holding cell, you know. One day you're going to stand before God Almighty. You're going to be judged tonight. Maybe it might be tonight. I don't know. But you're going to be judged. And then God's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And you're going to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. That's tonight as men don't want to hear that. Christians need the word of God today. It needs to echo in our ears. It needs to echo in our ears that, hey, there's a Cornelius that needs to be told the word of God and needs to be saved. There's a sinner that we need to go talk to tonight. It needs to echo in our ears that we got a path that God intends us to walk in. So many believers tonight don't like the path that God has called them to walk. Listen, it might not be something you like and it might not be something you want to do, but listen, if God has laid that path out in front of you, you better walk it. Because if you don't, it's going to cause you a lot of heartache, a lot of trouble, and a lot of problems. I think about the Word of God, not only that, but it demonstrates the time that we have. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, time is short. You look at the world today, you look at the rise of ISIS, you look at the homosexual movement, you look at the, even in Greece with the economic failure and the union getting together, you look at all of the pieces, and like a big puzzle, it's all coming together. And listen, I've already heard a man, a lost man, I think he was a Jew, he said this, he said, we need one man to step out and straighten all this thing out. Listen, the world's mind is being conditioned to a one world government. And as believers, we need the word of God so that we understand, hey, time is short. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. There's still work to be done today. Thirdly tonight, not only that, but another thing that brought Nick from the dark to the light was the will of Christ. The will of Christ. The will of Christ was not his own will, but it was his Father's will. The will of Christ was not one that was surrendered to himself, but it was yielded to his heavenly Father. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ is our great example. And one of the greatest examples that Christ left us was the fact that we are not to yield to ourselves, but we are yield to the heavenly Father. We're to yield to God in what he has called us to do. In John 5:30, he says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. I think about in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus Christ prayed, not my will, Lord, but thine. Nick saw a man fully surrendered to the will of God. Christ wanted more than anything to please his heavenly Father. I think about lost men today, you need to realize that the will of Christ is for their souls to be saved. God has a will for everybody. God has a will for Christians and God has a will for a lost person. Listen, you're here tonight and you don't know Christ. Guess what his will is for you tonight? It's for you to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest will take care of the step. That's just the first step. Listen, it's Christ's will to save the soul. It's Christ's will to forgive the sin. Listen, Christ is going to accept you as you are, but he's going to change who you are. He's going to change as you are. You can come to Christ as you are, but you're not going to leave as you came. You're going to leave very different. Christ will not accept our sin. Listen, there are men and women today who think that they can get saved and they can carry on anyway and they can act any old way. Listen, that ain't how it works, ladies and gentlemen. That's not how God wants it to be. Listen, if you're saved tonight, you need to be changed. You need to be different. And you cannot continue to live that old life which you once lived. Not only that, but Christ will not accept our selfish pride. So many people want to come to the Lord their own way. They want to find a baptismal pool and get a little wet, or they want to work, or they want to give, or whatever. Listen, that is not what Christ wants to accept tonight. He will not accept that. Christ will not accept our own path, but Christ will forgive our sin. Christ will remove our sin. Christ will replace our pride tonight. Christ will redirect our path, and Christ will allow us not to continue in sin, but he will change our lives tonight. As Christian, we need to realize that we need to set aside our will and surrender to the will of the Heavenly Father. The world will never be changed until it sees a group of Christians who are willing to be perfectly and 100% surrendered to the will of God. So many times we say, Lord, I want to be in your permissive will. Lord, I want to be this part of your will. I want to do this part of your will. Listen, that ain't what he wants. He wants us to be in his perfect will tonight. And that's not always easy, but listen, if we would ever get fully yielded and fully surrendered to Christ, if a body of believers in Salisbury, North Carolina would ever get fully yielded to the will of Christ for each and every individual one of our lives tonight, it would be amazing the effect that it would have on this area. It would be amazing the effect it would have on these pews. It would be amazing the effect it would have in the choir. It would be amazing the effect that it would have in every aspect of the local church if just a body of believers would fully surrender and yield to the will of God. Get out of that darkness wandering around. Listen, God's not going to drop a rock out of the sky with a note on it and say, this is what I want you to do. You know, that ain't going to happen. You need to say, Lord, I want to know your will. Lord, I'm going to read your Bible till you show me your will, and I'm going to pray until you confirm that will in my life. We need to learn to do that tonight. And then fourthly, this evening, I think about Nick. What brung him from the light to the dark, or from the dark to the light, was the worldview. The worldview. Notice Nick came to Christ by night the first time. But later on, there was a change. Something happened. In fact, in John 7, Nick would defend the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over there to John chapter number 7 tonight, real quick. They were trying to take care of the Lord, trying to give him some problems there. And John 7, verse number 50, it says here, Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Notice he's defending the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, listen, you can't just kill this man. You can't just judge him, you know. He said, listen, we need to go about this the right way. Notice what they said in verse number 52. They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. In other words, they said, Nick, are you on board with this bunch? You know, are you hanging out with these fellas now? You know, you're supposed to be on our team and all of a sudden you're different. What's wrong with you, Nick? You know, listen, Nick finally realized that he did not need to care for the world view anymore. That he needed to realize the view that he needed was Christ's view. He needed to view Christ for who and what he was. I think about old Nicodemus. He needed to understand who the Lord was. And Nick knew the world viewed him a certain way. Listen, the world does not have the correct view of the Lord Jesus Christ today. 99% of your television preachers do not have the correct view of the Lord Jesus Christ today. There might be one, I don't know. Listen, the majority of those people who call themselves Bible scholars or teachers today do not have a correct view of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a worldly view. Listen, tonight we need to get a correct view of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't need to come from the world, but it needs to come from this book. I think about Nick as he stood around the cross and as he saw the happenings going on and he saw the suffering and the pain and the sorrow. I can't help again think that Nick's mind went to Isaiah 53 verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. I think Nick began to realize, hey, listen, I'm looking at this thing all wrong. I'm looking at this thing of Christ the wrong way. Listen, he realized that he had a worldly view of Christ. Listen, tonight you may be sitting here and you're a sinner and you have a world view of Christ. Listen, Jesus Christ is more than a man. There are those that have called him a man, but he's so much more than a man. Listen, tonight, Jesus Christ is more than any teacher has ever taught. He's more than any teacher. Jesus Christ is more than just a Jew. Jesus Christ is more than just some story or historical figure. I think about tonight, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. I think about tonight, Jesus Christ is the great I am. As Moses stood around that bush and he said, I am that I am. Later on, Christ would show up and he said, I am. And they would realize, hey, that's the Son of God. That's Jesus Christ. And one day we'll be able to meet the I am. I think about tonight, Jesus Christ is the captain of the Lord's host. God's got an army, ladies and gentlemen, and he's going to use that army one day. In fact, he's going to be at the head of it. He's going to be riding a white horse. He's going to have a thing that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And guess what? If you're saved tonight, you're going to be behind him and you're going to be toting a bayoneted rifle or whatever you can get your hands on as you sweep down through the universe, down through that garden on the way to victory tonight. He's the captain of the Lord's host tonight. Jesus Christ is the deliverer. Down there in Egypt, the children of Israel in bondage, in slavery. That night the death angel come through, but guess what? There was some blood on doorposts. There was some blood on the walls down there, and all of a sudden that angel said, I will pass over you. Listen, tonight I'm thankful that we have a deliverer. The blood has been applied to believers tonight, and guess what? When judgment and wrath and hatred and all the trouble of the world comes crashing down, there's going to be a death angel. He said, listen, they're saved. I'm going to pass over them. There's going to be a call, come up hither. We're going to exit stage up, leave this world and get out of this mess, and we're going to be in a whole lot better place. I think about not only is he the deliverer tonight, but I think about he's the ram caught in the thicket. Oh, Isaac down there getting ready to be cut up there on that altar, and all of a sudden the angel said, wait a minute, hang on a second, put that thing in reverse, Abraham. And he noticed there was a ram down there caught in a thicket. I think about tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is the scapegoat there that talks about in the law. You say, what are you talking about? What they would do is they would take them a goat, and they would confess their sins on that goat, and a fit man would tote that goat out in the wilderness and let it go. Hey, listen, tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is that scapegoat. All my sins have been taken on him. And guess what? The fit man, the Holy Spirit showed up and led him away. Hey, I'm thankful for that tonight. Listen, I think about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is king. He's king. They rode over the cross of Calvary, king of the Jews. Listen, he's not king of the Jews. He's the king of the world. He has titlement. He has claim to the throne of David. But listen, the Bible tells us that he's going to rule there with a rod of iron one day. I think about tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is the still small voice that still speaks to the hearts of men and women, drawing them to himself, pulling them out of their sin, compelling Christians to serve and love him more. I think about tonight, Jesus Christ is the thunder that rolls when we need to hear the thunder, you know? When God needs to raise his voice, Christ says, hey, I'm talking to you, pay attention, you know? I think about tonight, not only that, but Christ is in heaven forever making intercession for us. Hey, listen, I got the best lawyer in the world. His name's Jesus Christ. He's forever making my case known. Satan's over there accusing, hey, he messed up here. Hey, he said wrong here. Hey, he did this here. Hey, he looked at that here. Christ is saying, forgiven. He said, well, what about this? What about Christ? Forgiven. All of a sudden, what about all that? Forgiven. And finally, Satan just says, okay, you win. It has to leave. I got the best defense attorney in the world tonight making intercession for me. And not only is he making intercession for the forgiveness of my sin, but he's saying, hey, Daddy, my child down there needs a little help. Can you send it down his way? And all of a sudden, God will begin to give blessing in our lives. I think about tonight, not only that, but he's alive. He ever maketh intercession for us. He's coming again. The eastern sky is going to part. We're going to leave this world one day. Christian, he is all the things that we need to understand and all the things that we need to have. And listen, tonight, as Nick began to realize this, Nick was wandering around in that darkness. But all of a sudden, there was a flash of light. And Nick went from Nick at night to Nick in the light. A man came to Jesus, John in chapter 3. And so afraid, he was so afraid. Master, you're from God, I really do believe. And Jesus said, you must be born again. Born again, there's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. Born again, and all because of Calvary. I'm glad, so glad that I've been born again. Hey, listen, tonight we stand here at the close of the service. Listen, you might be a lost person here tonight. And you're just tired of the darkness. You're tired of wondering around what was going to happen to your soul if you was to die. You're tired of wondering what's going on in the world today. And listen, there is absolutely, you see no light in what's going on in your life. Listen, Nick went from Nick at night to Nick in the light. Listen, salvation is such a free gift tonight. Listen, if you're lost here tonight, I don't care if you've been in this church 100 years, 10 years, 5 minutes, whatever. I don't care if you're a visitor tonight. Listen, there's nothing more important tonight than you getting out of that darkness. And then tonight, we as Christians, maybe the light of our salvation is dimmed a little bit. Maybe the light of our service has kind of faded a little bit. Listen, tonight I would challenge us, we need to get a little brighter view of Christ. We need to get a little brighter view of what His will is, what His Word says, and what He would have us to do tonight.